In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Among the many challenges that we face in our lives, I think one of the hardest to face and to come to grip with is the challenge of failure. The challenge of failure. When a person feels like he's lost, or when a person feels like he's failed, this is a very, very challenging experience and emotion that we all have gone through and experienced one way or another. And none of us like to lose, in a sense. None of us like this feeling of failure. But be that as it may, it's certainly something that we all must experience in life and will experience in life. No one succeeds at anything and everything. And I think many of us were not properly trained how to deal with failure. And I think as parents, it's our responsibility to teach our children how to deal with failure and how to handle times where we come up short or on the losing team. I think the readings of today illustrate for us a path and how to deal with failures. So I'd like to speak about this with you this morning. I'll begin from the passage of the Pauline epistle. And this comes from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4. He says what? About the ministry of the apostles and about himself. He says, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal bodies." So he begins this passage by saying that we are hard-pressed on every side. We were confused, we were persecuted, we were struck down. But in response to all of these failures, he says, gives us an instruction that we are to carry about the dying of the Lord in our body, that the life of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal bodies. So he's saying, although we were struck down and seemed like we were failing, but at the same time, we remember that we are called to carry the dying of the Lord in our life. The Lord Jesus Christ, they mocked him, ridiculed him, and put him on a cross. But do we say that he's a failure because of this? Certainly not. So, although we might face failures in our life, St. Paul instructs us and reminds us to carry about the life of the Lord Jesus in our body. So how do we do this? How do we deal with failure in our life, but yet carry about the dying of the Lord in our body? The gospel of today comes from St. Luke chapter 5 and speaks to us about the time when the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching to the people from the boat of St. Peter. And after he was done preaching, he tells Peter, and it sees that they came up with no fish that night, and he tells them to launch back out into the deep to catch some fish. And he does. And then he returns back and then tells Peter to be a fisher of men. This similar situation happened to many of the righteous and godly men in the Bible. And I'll point out one of them, Isaiah the prophet. Very similar. In Isaiah chapter 6, it gives us his life story, or his calling, so to speak. And he says, it begins chapter 6, and it says, "In the reign that King Uzziah died." And why was this chapter, where it speaks about his revelation, why is this part important? Because when kings die, the rulers change, and things tend to be unstable in the beginning. It's just like now, the people who are in the cabinet for the president, when the new president comes, they will likely all be removed, right? So at any power change, or any time a king dies, the people who are closest to him are worried and scared. Because back then, they weren't just removed from power, but they're often killed, right? So Isaiah was at a comfortable spot with King Uzziah. But now when the kings change, things tend to be unsettled. People will be killed, people who are in high official places. So Isaiah was a bit concerned and a bit worried. So then the rest of the chapter tells us about a vision that God revealed to Isaiah, the prophet. He sees the Lord sitting on a high throne with his robe filling the whole temple. Then he hears the voice of the seraphim crying to another, "Holy, holy, holy." And then after this revelation, he says to himself, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips." Just like today, when St. Peter saw the glory and majesty of God, how he created all of these fish, he said to him, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." So both St. Peter and Isaiah the prophet give us some steps to dealing with failure, or the sense of failure. Both of them, first, they dealt with failure, or they experienced failure. Second, they had to launch into the deep with God alone. Third, they had a revelation from God. Fourth, they made a confession. And fifth, they were sent on a mission. I'll speak about these briefly. The first was failure. St. Peter toiled the whole night and caught nothing. Although his experience told him that the best time for fishing was at night and close to the shore, because back in the day they would throw the scraps into the lake, so the fish would come at night to feed on these scraps. So the fishermen knew that the best time to fish are at night and close to the shore, but Christ told them to go to the deep. And despite all of his toils that night, he came up with nothing. Not one fish. And Christ could have met St. Peter many other times, but he chose the time where he was most vulnerable, where he felt like he was a failure, to come to meet with him. Why? Because experiencing failure is an important step in a person's growth. Experiencing a certain failure is important for a person's growth. We cannot expect to go deeper in our relationship with God without maybe experiencing failure in our life. And I don't mean here experiencing failure in a way that's always losing a job or failing an exam or something of that sort. Although this can be the case, but this is not necessarily the case. Sometimes we can feel a sense of failure for things that I'm not doing. Maybe I'm not loving the way that I can love. I'm not living a content life. I'm always wanting more. I'm not giving like I should. I'm not obeying as I should the commandments of God. Or one can feel as a failure in the role that they're supposed to be fulfilling. I can feel a sense of a role of failure as a parent, as a mother or father, or as in my position at home, in my workplace. I can feel I'm a failure as a husband or a failure as a wife. So experiencing this failure is something that should lead to our growth, and it's a very important part. The men who were the highest spiritual status in the Bible are those who went through failure. David, for example, he was a great man, but what made him greater was experiencing his failure when he committed sin, when he murdered. Then he composed for us the beautiful Psalms. So for St. Peter and Isaiah, if we look at these men, if we looked at them, we would say that these men were great men. They were good, right? St. Peter was a good man. He was generous. He loved God. Isaiah was a prophet. Had a great relationship with him, very religious person. So on the outside, the people looked at them as being good men. But to them and themselves, that I'm not a good man. I'm not a good person as the people think that I am. Failure is coming to the realization that I need help from God and that His plans for my life are better than my plans for my life. Let me say that again. Failure, just in case we misunderstood what I said, failure is coming to the realization that I need God and that His plan for my life is better than my plan for my life. This is what experiencing failure is, when I realize that what He wants for my life is better than what I want and what I think. And sometimes God allows us to go through failure after failure in life so that we can recognize this. And we recognize this, we go to the next step. Listen to what Isaiah says in 55. He says, "For God says on the mouth of Isaiah, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's ways are higher, my beloved. They're better than ours. God wants us to be in heaven more than we want to be in heaven. God wants us to be in heaven more than we sometimes want to be in heaven. Sometimes we go through these parts in our life where we feel like I'm okay not being in heaven for a little bit. But God says, no, I don't want you in I want you to think of heaven and be in heaven all the time. But sometimes we don't even feel that for ourselves. So we must experience this failure where we understand that God's ways are better than my ways. And then when we understand this, we can progress to the next level, which is going into the deep. After St. Peter experienced his failure and had no fish, Christ told him to launch out into the deep. And just as I said, St. Peter thought maybe he was just an ordinary person. Wasn't too bad. But it wasn't until when he went into the deep that he understood truly who he was. And this going into the deep is the intimacy with God. The time that we have with Him and Him alone. It reminds me of what the Beloved said to the Shulamite in the book of Song of Songs. The Beloved here is the king. The Shulamite says about the king, it says, "The king has brought me into his chambers." The chambers are like the inner room, the place where the king himself resides and resides alone. So now the Shulamite, which is you and I, the soul of the person, it's as if God is telling us, come into my chamber alone. The Lord Jesus Christ echoes the same thing on the Sermon on the Mountain when he says, when you pray, go into your room and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. So going into the chamber, going into the deep, the time with you and God alone. This is very critical to a person's dealing with failure, is spending that time with me and God alone. Now, going into the deep takes a little bit of faith and a little bit of obedience. Faith in what? Faith in His goodness and in faith in His ability. St. Peter, when Christ told him to go into the deep, he told them, "We labored all the night and didn't catch anything, but at your word, we will go out. So he says, but at your word. This but here is his faith displayed by obedience. Although I don't understand, and my experience tells me that we should have caught the fish at night, and now you're telling me to go in the morning, but I'm going to go anyway, because I have faith in your ability, and my obedience to you is greater than what my experience or my thoughts tell me. This is why it's extremely important for us to spend this time with God, this going into the deep. Because when we go into the deep and in the chambers with God, we experience Him. And we get to hear His voice without any distractions or interruption. That's why you hear, anytime you go to confession, Abuna's asking you about your prayer. Sometimes we say we pray in the car. This is okay, but what about this time in your chamber? What about this time that you spend with God alone in the morning before you launch out into your work day? There needs to be time in the morning that we spend with God and with God alone. Not rushing, multitasking while we're praying or doing something, but there needs to be this time with God alone. And then when you have this time in the chamber, you can take God with you anywhere. You can take him in the car, you can take him to work, you can do anything. But we need to launch into the deep. In order for us to effectively deal with our failures, we need to launch into the deep, into the chamber with God. Then after we launch into the deep, oftentimes, before I continue, many of us, we are kind of stuck in these first two steps. We're stuck with, okay, experiencing my failure, and God's plans are better than my plans, great. Then I launch into the deep, and then I forget it after that. Then I come back, and I remember that I'm a failure again, and then I launch into the deep, and that's it. We get stuck in between these two steps. The third step is revelation. Once St. Peter launched into the deep, then God revealed to him who he was. He just went out and caught no fish. And now he's going out and the fish are obeying him and going straight for his net. To the point where they got so many fish, he needed help, right? So this certainly is a miraculous sign that the Lord Christ did for St. Peter. And this is his revelation to St. Peter. But God reveals himself to you and I in many ways. He reveals himself to us generally, and then he reveals himself to us individually. Generally how? He reveals to us himself generally through the preaching of the word, just as I'm doing now. Through the scripture, all of us have the Bible in front of us to open it and see what God has to say about himself. He's revealing himself to us. He reveals to us himself through the church and through the history of the saints. Their experiences are all available to all of us without exception. But then he reveals himself also to us individually on a personal level. He does this and reveals to us our personal weaknesses and shortcomings in sin. Through our experience with him, our dialogue, and the certain circumstances that happen to us in our life. There's no circumstance that happens in our life that's just by chance. But every circumstance in our life is orchestrated in a way that God wants to tell us something, to bring to our attention something, wants us to learn something, to help in some way. No circumstance in our life is just arbitrary. And it's through this individual revelation that the Lord makes known to us our purpose in the world. What's the purpose of my life? What is my role? What is the means of my salvation? The means of our salvation might differ from person to person. One person, their path of salvation might be to bear the burden of a sickness. One person's salvation might be to bear the burden of a particular service. One person's salvation might be to bear the burden of another person. But all of us have a different means of salvation. St. Peter heard the preaching of the Lord Christ before he launched into the deep. This is the general revelation. Then he went and launched into the deep and experienced Christ for himself personally. And then after that, Christ sent him out to be a fisher of men. This is your purpose. But his purpose would have never been known to him unless he launched into the deep. And God revealed himself to him. You know what this individual revelation is like? It's like a person who wants to maybe become a more healthy individual, right? I have bad eating habits. I don't exercise. I want to be a healthy individual. So what do? I go to Google, how to be healthy, okay? Type that in the search. You get all these websites of how to be healthy. Exercise plans, other diet plans, other what to eat and what not to eat, how to arrange your life, all of these things. But you know what? When you go to Google and type in how to be healthy, and I go into Google and type in how to be healthy, we get the same thing, right? But how does this become individualized when I say, I'm going to go to see a physician? When I go to the physician, go to his office, he takes a sample of my blood, sees how much vitamins I have and all of these things, and says, okay, this is your individualized plan. You have a little bit less vitamin E. You don't have enough vitamin D. Your cholesterol is high. Take this medicine. So now what? The becoming healthy is no longer a general revelation or something that's for everybody. But there's something now that is specific for me. We call the Lord Jesus Christ the true physician of our souls and bodies. We got to go to Him, launch into the deep for this individual plan that He will reveal to us only when we are launching into the deep. Then what happens once Christ reveals Himself to us in this intimate way? Then we have the confession, which is step number 4. When dealing with our failures and we launch into the deep and God reveals Himself to us, then a person will utter the words of both St. Peter and Isaiah the prophet. St. Peter said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And Isaiah said the same thing, "Woe is me, for I am undone." This confession is not simply a confession from the mouth, but it's a confession for out of the depth of the heart. When I see the magnitude of God's glory and His work in my life and the life of the other people, and I understand it fully and comprehend it, then I'll be left with nothing to say except, "I'm a sinful man. Anything that I do is not worthy of your glory. Anything that I do is not worthy of your honor. I am a sinful man." No matter how good people might see me that I am, but actually my presence in your, or me in your presence, is a sinful thing. I'm a sinful man. They saw themselves truly who they were. This reminds me of Job. We all know the story of Job. Job, after he went through all of the hardships and lost his land, his livestock, his children, and even his own health, he comes in chapter 3 and begins to complain. And he begins this chapter and says, "After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day that he was born." So then he spends the whole chapter complaining to God about his feelings and his situation. Then his friends come and try to console him, and then Job defends himself to his friends. He had 3 friends. They spend something like 35 or 36 chapters going back and forth between him and his friends. Then after all of his friends had spoken and were silent, and Job was silent, then God spoke to Job and said, "Now it's my turn." He says to Job, "I will question you, and you shall answer me." And he begins to question Job about many things. "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Who determines its measurements? Is it you or is it I? Or who shut in the sea with doors? Who set the boundaries for the oceans and the rivers and the streams? Have you commanded the morning since your day began? Who tells the sun to come up and the sun to set, for the earth to rotate on its axis? Who does this? By what way is light diffused?" Till this day, this puzzles, you know, the scientists. What is light? You know? Who, or where? What about the east wind who scatters it over the earth? So he questioned him for 2 chapters, and Job had no answer. Because he realized, you know what? He is the answer. And then Job responded the same way that St. Peter and Isaiah the prophet responded. He says, "But Job answered the Lord and said, 'Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further.'" He realized, okay, I've spoken before. Now it's time to me to put my hand over my mouth and say, "I don't know. I'm a vile person." But although Job was a very righteous person, we call him the righteous Job in the midnight praises, but he saw himself as being vile because he complained against God. In making this confession, we realize that my darkness is made manifest in His light. The more we go into the deep and God reveals Himself to us, we will come up with this conclusion that I'm a sinful man. If you look at the most righteous people in the world, you might ask yourself, what is it that they confess about? They look like they're sinless. But although we might see this as sinless, but they themselves see themselves as being the worst. St. Paul, the great St. Paul, says about himself that I am the chief among sinners. You and I would say to him, St. Paul, I think I can think of somebody who's a little bit worse than you. But he thinks of himself that I'm the chief among sinners because he launched into the deep. He experienced God's revelation and he came up with this confession. Who am I next to God's glory and His honor? Lastly, when a person experiences this, then God says to him, now you are ready to serve. Now I want to send you out. Now you're ready to serve. Once you've launched into the deep, you saw my revelation, and you've made this beautiful confession, and you realize that your dependence is on me, now I will send you. And I will send you to be a fisher of men. Send you to get people to experience the same thing that you've experienced, the launching into the deep and experiencing the revelation of God and making the same confession. For St. Peter, this was not the first time or the only time that he experienced this process of failure, where he failed, he launched into the deep, then he experienced God's revelation and made a confession, and then was sent. Actually, every stage of St. Peter's life, he experienced the same thing. After the resurrection, where was St. Peter? Where was St. Peter? In the upper room, right? It was in the upper room. Why were they in the upper room with the apostles, the disciples? Because they were scared, right? They're scared that the Jews might do something to them. So this is a feeling of failure, right? He felt that he was a failure. He failed Christ. He just told him before the crucifixion, I will go even to death. And Christ told him, no, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And he did it. So St. Peter specifically, I'm sure, felt like a failure. He was there and he was scared. Then what happened? Then Christ revealed himself to the disciples in the upper room, right? The revelation. He realized who he was. And then he went out after the resurrection. Then he experienced the same thing during Pentecost. Right? During Pentecost, again, they were in the upper room and Christ revealed himself, or God revealed himself, through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then they were all sent out to preach the whole world. This time, no longer with the failure and the cowardness, but now with power and with courage. They went and preached to the whole world with just a few men. No longer was their failure an obstacle in their life. We all experience failures in our life, but God is trying to tell us, when we experience this failure, to launch into the deep so He can reveal Himself to you and I, and that we can make this confession that I am a sinful man and go offer confession before our Father of Confession. And then He will tell us, okay, I want you in your sinful state, or I want you, once you recognize that you're a sinner and you need me, to go and share this message with others. And this way the whole world will come to know the Lord intimately, as you and I hopefully do. May God grant us to face our failures with these in this process, and grant us to be faithful servants to Him. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.